Good evening. I think even they won't believe us.
They think we framed them.
Now, healing to us is important. And it's important for this reason. The human world is made up so much of discord that if there weren't some evidence of a presence and power that could break through the human world, we would all be as hopeless as much of the world is today, and as fearful. Now, we know through study, through our work, through experience, first of all, that our recognition of God as infinity, the only power, the only presence, results in what we call healing, because it reveals to us that that which we have feared as a power apart from God is revealed as no power. And of course, that which the world calls material law, like broken bones and nervous breakdowns and all the trouble that a foolish woman can get into, isn't really real or law or cause, and has nothing to support it in our realization of one power, one law, one cause. Now, there is a step further than that realization, and that is the step that had come to me this afternoon in my meditation for tonight's work. But it fits in so beautifully with that letter that I wanted you to have the letter as a background. If, humanly speaking, there were broken bones, and let us assume that they were set, there still would be a period of healing, of mending, of coming together, wouldn't there? There'd have to be that period of being in a cast in order to grow new tissue and so forth and so on. But here you see an experience where that wasn't true. There wasn't a setting because the operation hadn't taken place, and there had been no interval for healing because the hip definitely shown was broken, and yet here the dog 2 nights later walks in on its own feet without a broken hip, without smashed bones. So, what happens here? You haven't seen a healing at all of broken bones. You haven't witnessed a healing at all of bones that were set or bones that were healed. You have witnessed the new creature, Christ. You witnessed the old dog, whether well or sick, set aside, and the new creature, Christ, revealed. Now, there is your secret and there is your difference in infinite way healing. You don't have a person who is sick and who takes a few days and gets well. You have a person who appears to be sick and a few hours later hasn't a sign or trace of it, and without a single sign of a material remedy to account for it. In other words, what you have done is you have pierced the veil of illusion. You have seen through mortal man to the reality which is Christ. And the illusory picture which we call mortal man disappears. And here's a question that says, would you explain about this soldiers who are blown up in war, the body blown to bits, how can they awaken in the next life in the same body? Why, for the simple reason that the body that you see with your physical eyes was an illusion, whether it was whole or whether it was blown up. And the moment you see with your spiritual eyes, you'll see the body that never was whole and never was broken, but which was always spiritual. Now, you see, this is a mystery. This is quite a different thing than a healing ministry in which sick people get well or sinners become pure. This is no such thing. This is the ability on the part of someone whom we call a serious student, diligent student, a practitioner student, someone who has the ability to ignore the appearance and with their inner vision realize why God made man in his own image and likeness, and that man is intact. Never was born, never will die, never had a physical body, and never will. And then when the click comes on that, then you see the picture of an individual showing not a sign or trace of the illness, nor of recuperation. Do you follow that? To be sick and to recuperate is hardly spiritual healing. It may be physical healing and it may be mental healing, but not spiritual. When Jesus says to the crippled man, pick up your bed and walk, the man jumps. He doesn't have a convalescing period. He doesn't have bones set. When the master says to the insane man, come out of there, devil, the man is found to be in his right mind. He doesn't convalesce. He doesn't have a gradual healing. He drops his humanhood, and you now witness Christ, the real man, the real being, the spiritual being. And so you see that when you are reading this message of the infinite way, always have in mind that term, the new creature. Now let's begin with a little reading. Well, we'll start with, it isn't enough to have one Bible, you have to have two Bibles. Why not? And this is the 62nd chapter of Isaiah. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And that new name, remember, isn't just a healthy human being. That new name is Christ, Mighty Counselor, Prince of Peace. That is your new name when you have come to spiritual realization. The moment you begin to feel the click of God inside, you are not a bad human being who's become good. You're not an old human being who's become young. You are not a poor human being who's become rich, nor a sick human being who's become well. You are now, thou shalt be called by a new name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. No human being could be that. No human being can ever get that good. Has to be a crown of glory. No, in the hand of the Lord. And a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Only Christ, your spiritual self, what is that? Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. That isn't man whose breath is in his nostril. That isn't a reformed sinner or a recovered sick person. That is Christ, the Son of God, the living Son of the living Father, and nothing less. You see, in the message of the infinite way, that is our function, that when this touch comes inside, when this gasp comes, when this peace that passeth understanding, or the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, then you are a new name, then you are a new creature. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you see that? First of all, there are two important points there. Nicodemus recognizes this. No man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Now remember, as human beings, we are human beings separate and apart from God, cut off from God, a branch that is cut off from the vine. It is only when we make our contact with the Father, it is only when we are renewed in that Spirit, that then we can, and have the very feeling of God's presence, not an affirmation God is present, but an actual feeling of God, then we can say, Ah, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. Then when you have God with you, then you can do these miracles. Because it isn't you doing them, it is God doing them through you. But remember, never try to do them except that you have the absolute conscious realization that God is with you. Have that click. Sit in meditation until you feel that presence. Remember, time means nothing. Whether it's 5 days, 5 years, or 20 years, it makes no difference. You're better off if it takes 50 years, if necessary, to get there rather than give up and stop and be satisfied with humanhood. Never give up, never give up, never stop until that. Because behind us, we have generations of separation from God. Behind us, we have generations of spiritual ignorance. And how are we ever going to break through that wall of partition unless we are ready and able and willing to give ourselves to it day and night and day and night? And that's why I don't address these remarks to lecture audiences nor advertise for big crowds, because how can I say to a big crowd, you've got to devote your life to it? They come probably to have some Jesus or John or Paul to devote their life to it, but they're not ready to devote their own life to it. But I'm saying to you, as serious students, this is for you to dedicate yourself until you can come to this position that Nicodemus recognized. No man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And so don't try them. Don't try as a human being to think that you have power over sin, disease, or death. But remember this, that once you have that inner realization of God with us, Emmanuel, then you can do the miracles that Jesus did, because it isn't you, it is God with us that does it. Now, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof, and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And here you have the whole thing. Within you is this Christ, this bread of life. And it is giving itself to you always, but whether or not you are able to receive it depends on your receptivity, on your devotion, on whether you can give it the days or hours or weeks or months that are necessary. Because one thing is certain, God is no respecter of persons. The kingdom of God is within us, every single one of us. And it is awaiting our recognition. And it is the bread of life, the meat of life, the wine of life. It is the Christ. When it comes into visible expression in your life, so that you can say, ah, yes, I know God is with me. How do I know it? Not because I can affirm it in a book of truth, but because I can sit down and feel the divine impulse. I can feel the warmth that comes over my body, or I can feel the release from fear or concern, or I can feel the assurance of the presence, or sometimes I can even hear the words, fear not, I am with thee. Some way or other, it comes. Then, when that comes, you don't change a broken bone into a good bone, but both the broken bone and the good bone disappear, and the Christ bone appears, or the Christ self. Now, there is our work. It is the new creature. The new creature, Luke. Now, strive not to be a patched-up creature. Strive not just to improve your humanhood and be a better human than you were. There's no fault to be found with being a good human, but that's not our particular work. Our particular work is to reveal that I'm not a bad human nor a good human. Why callest thou me good? There is but one good, the Father in heaven. And to reveal that I of my own self am nothing, but Christ is the reality of being. And then you have the secret of it all. Now, a question comes to thought. How is this accomplished? And I will tell you in one word. No, I'll stretch it out and make it two words. The first word is omnipresence. The second word is now. So that if I say to you, give me help, I will say to you, don't think of that help in a future tense. Don't think of it as something that is going to be accomplished by your right thinking or by your knowing the truth. The way to think of it is as already accomplished. I don't mean the healing already accomplished. Perfection already accomplished, not by you, by God. In other words, if I say, give me help, your thought should be, I'll give you help, jump out the window. That's the best kind of help. Because that means you didn't take it seriously that there was anything wrong. And you were abiding in omnipresence. Now is he the Son of God. Not after I get through giving him a treatment. Do you see that? Now is he Christhood. Not after the headache disappears or after I give a good treatment or we give a good treatment. Now, perfection is. Omnipresence means that I am the presence of God. And it means I was the presence of God before Abraham, and I will be the presence of God until the end of the world. And your function is to declare that. Do you see that? Not to make me well. No. No, not to make me well, not to give me a treatment, to give you a treatment. Your function is to give you a treatment. And your treatment must be, in omnipresence, there's nothing wrong. Now, there's nothing wrong with Christ. And we're not dealing with a human being who's sick and wants to become well. We are dealing with a false appearance of a human being who's sick and wants to become well. But the truth is omnipresence. Now are we the sons of God. Do you see that? Your attempt to change sickness into health will take you right out of the infinite way. It won't leave you there for one single second. Your whole attitude has to be that God created this world in the beginning and he found it good and there's never been a power to change it. Do you see that? Now, of course, you're going to be all your life up against the appearance of broken bones and broken bodies and broken health and broken intelligences and broken pocketbooks. That you're going to bear witness to all your life in the human scene. But you are never going to be called upon to change it. You are going to be called on to realize, I'm not interested in a sick man or a well man, but the new creature, Christ, is now before me. Do you see that? Your eyes won't testify to it. Your ears may not testify to it. But your inner vision, must testify to that fact that regardless of whether you're looking at a saint or a sinner, regardless of whether you're looking at the sick or the well, the broken or the unbroken, you have to ignore the appearance and look through and with inner vision realize God made all that was made and all that God made is perfect. Now, ordinarily, this shouldn't come up until about Friday night. So it's very possible that when we get through here tonight, the class will be over and I'll have a vacation all the rest of the week. Would that be nice? Oh, I can go to the movies every night. Because I would like to tell you two little secrets that really constitute the infinite way. And when you know those two secrets, there isn't much more to know, if anything. The first secret began long years ago with the word as. A-S. As. That was my big secret in the days when I was a practitioner doing nothing but healing work. That was my big, big secret. I didn't have man and God. And so I couldn't have a man going to God for anything. I caught a glimpse that God appeared on earth as man. Now, I got the vision first through understanding the nature of Jesus Christ. That was where my first revelation came in. I never could understand this church story about Jesus and the Immaculate Conception and God incarnate and all these things that the church teaches about Jesus Christ, because it never was explained to me by a person of spiritual vision. It was always somebody with a superstitious religious background that was telling it to me because they had to believe it or go to hell. You know, that isn't very convincing. If you want to learn something, go to a man who really believes it. Then you'll find that he has the power to impart it to you. And so, in studying that, I never had a question about Jesus because I was only 19 years old when the voice said to me, "When you know the secret of Jesus, you will have the secret of life." So I knew from the time I was 19 years old that if I ever found the secret of life, it was going to be in that man Jesus. And that's where I found it. Because I had to read. I know that every fairy story, every myth, has a real story behind it. You know that nobody in this world has ever been capable of writing or inventing a fairy story or a myth. at least none that I've ever known. I've read them, nearly all that are known, because all of Grimm's fairy tales and all of the other myths that ever were made are all based on a spiritual fact behind them. And the myth is just written to disguise it so that the ordinary man won't find it, because the ordinary man doesn't like to have truth revealed. Now, I knew then that all these stories had truth behind them, but what truth? And it was the word as that did it. Supposing we have here a tumbler, just a tumbler. But the tumbler is made of glass. Now, is there a glass and a tumbler? No. The glass is formed as tumbler, isn't it? How would you go about separating the glass from the tumbler? It's an impossibility. Can't be done. The glass and the tumbler is one because tumbler is shape or form and glass is substance. But they are absolutely one. And that's what I saw when Jesus said, God the Father and God the Son, but God is greater than the Son. There you have it. The glass and the tumbler is one, but glass is greater than tumbler because you could melt this down and make another shape out of it. The glass would be the same, but the tumbler would be different. It's the glass that's the greatest part of this, not the tumbler. Do you see that? You could even break this tumbler, but you'd still have glass. And then in 3 days, you could raise it up again and have tumbler again. Why? Because the glass would be intact. Do you see that? Now, supposing that God is the Father, that is the substance, and Jesus is the Son, or the form in which the substance appears. Wouldn't that be as God appearing as Jesus? Huh? Glass appearing as tumbler. God appearing as Jesus. Well, all you have to do is go one step more and realize that God is no respecter of persons, and then what do you find? God is appearing as Joel, too, and as Mary, and as Bill, and as Henry. Do you follow that? Now, all the tumblers may be broken, and all the Joels and the Jims and the Marys may be broken, but you can patch them up together again and have them all new. Why? Because God is the substance thereof. And so I saw God is manifest or expressed as the sun, you. Like the sun is manifest as a sunbeam, inseparable and indivisible. All that the sun is, every sunbeam is. Therefore, all that God is, every Jesus or Joel or John or Mary must be. Do you see that? And so, as patients came to me, I didn't see them as human beings who were looking around for a God to patch them up. I saw them as God appearing as individual being, and that truth did the patching up. That truth revealed the divinity of their being where there had seemed to be a human being around. That was the beginning of this work, and that is the beginning of your work, that you have not got a God somewhere, outside, inside, or upside down. You haven't got a God and you. And therefore, you don't have to search around for God. You don't have to seek for God or try to reach God. All you have to do is rest and acknowledge, I and the Father are one. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father that sent me. All that God is, I am. The place whereon my feet stand, that's holy ground, because I and the Father are there, right there. If I rise up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Why? Because I'm there, and where I am, thou art. Where thou art, I am. It makes no difference whether it's heaven or hell. It makes no difference if it is the valley of the shadow of death, where thou art, I am. Where thou art, I am. Where I am, thou art, because you can't separate glass and tumbler. You can't separate God and his individual expression, which is you and me. Do you see that? Now, when you are engaged in healing work for yourself or another, tell me what healing work you can do after you've recognized that I and the Father are one and all God is I am. There's no future tense anymore, is there? There's no more hour from now or tomorrow. There is only now am I the Son of God. Now am I the image and likeness. Now am I about my Father's business. Now am I dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I may outwardly appear to be sick. I may outwardly appear to be sinning. I may outwardly appear to be poor. But you are not dealing with what I appear to be. You are dealing with what in your heart and soul you're convinced I am. And what is that? God the Father and God the Son, therefore perfect. Do you see that? You ignore the appearance. You don't try to change it. You don't try to improve it. You close your eyes to it. And you realize there is not God and man. Here is God made manifest as man. You see that? Here is God expressed as individual being. God's life is your life. God's soul is your soul. God's mind is your mind. Even your body is the temple of the living God. Have you ever heard that? Even your body is the temple of the living God. Where is God? Outside of his temple? No. God is the very substance of his temple, as glass is the very substance of this temple that we call tumbler. You see that? How are you going to separate mahogany from a mahogany table? How strong is a mahogany table? It hasn't any strength. Its only strength is as strong as the mahogany. Oh, that's the only strength I have, God's strength. Isn't that wonderful? None of my own, because God is the substance of my individual being, of my life, soul, mind, being, spirit. God is the allness of my being and of yours, because God is no respecter of persons. Now, there is the very first word that stops you from wondering if you're going to reach God and if God's going to do something about it. Nothing has to be done about it. All that has to be done is for you to get yourself quiet with that word as. God manifest as my being. How old am I? As old as God. Do you see that? Has to be so. Now, to make it easier, this word as had a little baby a few years later. And the baby's name is. Is. God is omnipresence. God is life eternal. God fills all space. God is omnipresence. God is. Well, if God is, and I and the Father are one, I is too. Well, I guess grammarians would say I am, but it doesn't make any difference. I really is. If God is, I is. Now, that's no fooling, because we is one. Well, you will admit it simplifies it. Is. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord leadeth me. Is now. Not the future tense. Now. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is in his holy temple now. Where thou art, I am now. That's where Moses got that I am from. I am that I am. What I am, I am. And that's where Jesus got it from later. Just repeating the realization, I already am. Do you see that? Because God is, I am. Because God is, I am. Now, and there again, because of one, oneness. You see where Jesus gets oneness from? I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. As a matter of fact, it's a wrong grammatical sentence. I know that. I and the Father are one. That would be two. If you had R in there. It should be I and the Father is one. Shouldn't it? Certainly. I and the Father is one, not R one. I think the old scholars got a little shocked at the idea of God and I being one, and they stuck that R in there to sort of take the curse off the truth. But the truth is, I and the Father is one. Is. Once you realize is, you will never make the mistake of trying to heal somebody or change somebody or correct somebody. You will never make a mistake of trying to heal broken bones. All you will do is sit quietly until you are flooded with that light, as our little teacher told us. Just be quiet until you're flooded with the light. Don't try to do something. Don't try to change something. Always remember as and is. God is appearing as this individual. Therefore, all is spirit. All is perfection. All is harmony. And don't you let your mind reach out and try to do. Otherwise, you'll have mental hocus pocus, mental abacadabra, mental trying to take rabbits out of hats. Don't do that. You couldn't get it out anyhow if you didn't put it in. And that's the secret of this. Is. If harmony isn't the truth, you couldn't have a healing like those of those bones or of the hysteria or of the woman who was continuously getting herself in a jam. You couldn't get her out if she was really in. But the thing is this, that it's only in her dumb little mind that she's running back and forth trying to get in and out of trouble. But actually, she is always in her rightful place and about the Father's business because of as and because of is. One day one of those meditations will work and she'll wake up and realize it and stay realized. Now, do you see what happens inside of you? When you realize that you have no responsibility for healing this world, changing this world, or improving this world, but that you have to meditate until you get the realization that this world is in heaven, that this world is now about the Father's business, so that these pictures of broken bones, broken homes, broken bodies, broken minds, broken pocketbooks, those pictures disappear as if they were nightmares and you waked up out of sleep. Now, that actually is the process of healing. That's why it says in Scripture, awake, thou that sleepest. Awake, thou that sleepest. And it also says, when we see him as he is, we will be satisfied with that likeness. When we see him as he is. That he is you and that he is me. When I can behold you as you are, the very expression of God's own being, the very manifestation of God's own life, then I will see you as an immortal being, and then that's the way it'll be. And so it is with us. We have to watch ourselves that we are not trying to change somebody, heal somebody, improve somebody, but that we bring ourselves to a state of consciousness in which we can look through the picture and behold the new creature, Christ. Not try to patch up the old one, but look through and behold the new creature, Christ. There is a man of earth, that's the human being, separate and apart from God, the branch that's cut off and withering. But then there is this new creature, Christ, the man who has his being in Christ, is the Son of God. The Son of God is the manifestation of God. It is God itself appearing as individual form. And that individual form is you and me and he and she and it. And as we learn to abide in those two words, as, God appearing as in spite of any appearance, or harmony is. Now, that harmony is makes the success of your entire treatment or prayer or realization, because it stops you dead cold trying to change something, heal something, improve something, which you can't do. You can't do it. Because if God made all that was made, I can assure you, everything that God made must be good, and there couldn't be a power to do anything to that goodness. So therefore, God's goodness is intact. God's goodness is intact. Now, your treatment, or your prayer, or your communion, or your realization must consist of is. Do you follow that? That's our whole work. Even if at first you just do it intellectually and close your eyes to all appearance and just say, is. God is, harmony is. God is, life is. God is, perfection is. God is, wholeness is. God is, health is. God is, wealth is. All is good because God is all. Is. God forbid that I should try to change anything in heaven or on earth. Heaven hold me back from attempting to meddle with God's universe. My function is to know is. God is in his heaven. All is well with the world. God is in his holy temple now. They have only the arm of flesh. We have the Lord God Almighty. We have the truth of God's allness, God's oneness, God's infinite individual being. God is with us now. God is in the midst of us. God is. Harmony is. Omnipresence is. There is no future tense in truth. Truth is a state of is-ness. I am-ness. And when you make that your treatment or prayer or meditation and hold yourself in is, it won't take you very long to come to the realization. These people who are taking years and years and years and finding no progress, I can assure you that if you could just hold a little test, a little examination, you'd find that they're busy patching up a world somewhere, healing somebody or reforming somebody or the world, instead of abiding in is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. Do you see that? There is your secret. Is. Never doubt for a moment that in this second of time, God is. Allness is. Perfection is. Harmony is. And never, never permit your thought for 1 minute to attempt to change somebody or heal somebody or improve somebody or reform somebody. Stay with the word is. The Lord is. If you had nothing more than the 23rd Psalm, you'd have enough for the rest of your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to live in is. Now I is in the secret place of the Most High. I am in the secret place of the Most High now, not in the future tense. I am in the secret place. I am about my Father's business now. Live in this minute as if tomorrow were never going to come. And when you're treating somebody, treat them as if this was the only minute on earth and don't have any concern for the future. Then when you are fully and completely satisfied that you are abiding in is and that you're not out there trying to change something, then have your meditation until that peace of God descends upon you, until you can say, God is with me. Then you watch the miracles appear. Do you follow that? But you never will have God with you in the future tense, I can tell you that. You never will find God with you in the future. You can only find God with you where you are, when you are, why you are, now. And it doesn't make any difference. Peter and John, wasn't it, that had the experience in prison and found God there, and he opened the doors, and then when they came the next day, The guards were on duty and the doors were locked. Only Peter and John weren't there. Do you think? They went right through the chains and right through the gate. Why? Because of is. Because they never were there. They always were about the Father's business in the right place. And that realization of is does the work. If they had sought to be saved, they would still be there. But they were able to sing. Why could they sing? They had discovered my secret of is. They owe me royalties for 2,000 years. Is. You are not a good creature and you're not an evil creature. You are the Christ of God. You are the image and likeness of God. You are God itself individually appearing on earth. God is incarnate in you. God is the life of you, the soul of you, the mind of you, the spirit of you, the being of you. God is the infinite nature of your being. God is. And you must remember that after a while, you get to where you sum this all up in two little words. God is. Because if because of oneness, when you say God is, you're saying I am. Because there isn't God and me. There is only God appearing as me. So while at first we say God is, therefore I am, later we just cut out that last part of it and we say God is. It's a lazy man's way of giving a treatment, but very effective. Very effective. You don't have to labor. You don't have to earn your living by the sweat of your brow if you're a practitioner. You just learn two words. God is. But abide in them. Oh, you have to abide in them regardless of what the telephone says, regardless of what radio says, regardless of what the newspaper headline says. You have to abide in the Word and let the Word abide in you. And the Word is. That's the Word we abide in. Is, am, is. I am about my Father's business. God is. Life is. Life is eternal. Maimonides, this Hebrew mystic of the 11th century, said that it is wrong to say anything more of God than the two words God is. Because, he said, if you were to say God is love, and God is life, and God is eternal, and God is good, and God is grace, you are still saying no more than God is. And it's true, because the word God itself means all those things, infinity, grace, peace, joy, power, beauty, harmony. And so all we are saying is God is, completeness is, perfection is, life is, omnipresence is, eternality is, immortality is, the grace of God is upon me, the Spirit of God is upon me, is, we live in, is. Well, the only reason we have 20 books is because it gets monotonous just reading as is, but it would make a good book, just as is. Yeah, it's a strange thing. It's a strange, strange thing what happens to you when you see the utter nonsense of sitting around and praying to God for something that already is. Praying to God for something that's awaiting our recognition. Sitting around trying to get worthy of it, trying to get deserving of it. As humans, we never can. It's only in our Christhood that we're worthy of being the sons of God. And so the best thing to do is forget our badness and our goodness and try to abide in the realization of God incarnate in our being, God with us. Without God, we're nothing. With God, God is all. And God being all, you can see why in the original book, The Infinite Way, we have a statement like this. That which I am seeking, I am. That, you know, was the basis of the original book, The Infinite Way. That which I am seeking, I am. What am I seeking? God. Good. Harmony. Christhood. spirituality, peace, joy, dominion, supply. Well, that which I am seeking, I am. How can I be that? By virtue of God being the nature of my being. Otherwise, I couldn't be. Of myself, I certainly couldn't be. It is only because God constitutes my being that that which I am seeking, I am. Now, every time an individual, and it makes no difference whether it's a human being, whether it's an animal, whenever anything presents itself to your awareness of a discordant nature, don't try to change it, but get back inside and realize that is. All that God is, I am. That which I am seeking, I am. Or he or she or it. Realize that is and stand fast with it, regardless of appearances. Stand fast that it already is, it is, it is, it is. I am, I am, I am. It is, it is, it is, am, am. And stand in it until a peace and quiet comes, and then the flow will come, and then you'll have God with you, and then the appearance will change. You won't change it. Those words won't change it. But the state of consciousness that will come to you through the realization that you're not trying to patch up God's universe, that's what brings God's grace to you. Well, you see, when you go home tonight, all of these people, all of these things that need correction, now you'll have to sit down and overhaul yourself and realize none of them need correction. It's been my fault that I have been beholding a glass and tumbler, whereas glass is tumbler. Do you see that? So if you have double vision and see glass here and a tumbler over here, get them back together again. And when they're together again and there's one, then there's no more discord. And that proves, too, that the discord never was external. The discord was always an illusion. And, of course, a lot of you who have used the word illusion in reference to error, will you please remember this, that there is no such thing as an externalized illusion? That an illusion always exists in your own thought about something? If you were to see this tumbler doubled, the illusion wouldn't be out here. The illusion would be up in your think tank looking wrongly. You see that? And so it is. If you see a sick person or a sinning person, don't think that that illusion is out on the street somewhere or in a home. That illusion is up in your mind. No illusion exists outside of your mind. There are no illusions in heaven and there are no illusions on earth. All the illusions we ever see are within us. It's like looking at the streetcar tracks that come together in the distance. They don't come together in the distance. They come together up here. The clouds, the cloud over here sitting on a mountain, never happened in the history of the world. That only happens up here in our wrong view. The illusion is within us. And you know there are always people running around saying, I have an illusion. Will you help me get rid of it? Can't help anybody get rid of an illusion. The fact that they know it's an illusion is the healing. It is as long as you think there are two glasses here that you need healing. But the minute you say it's an illusion, you're healed. Because now you know that it's unreal. Do you follow that? And so the very moment that someone calls for help and you can say it's an illusion, that's the end of it as far as you're concerned. The treatment's done. Because if it's an illusion, it has no externalized existence. Is that clear? An illusion cannot have an externalized existence. Nobody ever even claimed that it could except metaphysicians. I don't know how they invented such nonsense. To know that a condition is illusion is the healing treatment. Do you not see that? Because when you say it's illusion, you're saying it's not real, has no law to support it, has no substance, has no cause. That's what you're saying when you say it's an illusion. So if you can say it's an illusion, go to bed and go to sleep. And the chance are you'll wake up and find that it was only an illusion and never had an externalized effect. Do you see that? The trouble is with a claim that presents itself to us that we believe is real, that we believe has existence, that we really believe is wrong with somebody, sometimes ourselves and sometimes our patients. But the very moment that wisdom says to us, don't you know that's an illusion, that ought to be the end of your treatment. Because what can an illusion do? Nobody's ever been bitten by an illusion or poisoned by it. Do you see that? Learn to have a respect for that word, illusion, so that when you say it, it ends all your fears, all your doubts. Snakes may bite, but illusions don't. So if you can see it and say, oh, that's an illusion, go right, turn over and go to sleep. Now, if you can't get the feeling that it's an illusion, if you really think it's a condition, an actuality, something to be feared, then don't turn over and go to sleep. Then don't neglect it. Sit right down with your is and your as until you come to the realization why harmony is, therefore, all else must be illusion. Then you're through with it. Don't attempt, though, to neglect error. Don't attempt just to pass it off with a wisecracking remark, because you won't heal it that way. You only heal through conviction. You have to come to the conviction of as and is. You have to come to the conviction that what is appearing to you as illusion is illusion. Then when you have had your conviction and your realization, you notice here that none of these cases did this lady ignore it or neglect it. In every case, she and her students sat down and meditated until the light came, until they felt the release. Do you see that? And in the self-same moment, the healing took place. So with us, just because I see this, I see some of these things really with a sense of humor, doesn't mean that I treat error lightly. Don't ever think so. Don't ever think that I neglect it. Don't ever think that I just snap my finger at it and turn away and say, oh, it's an illusion, because that wouldn't be fair to the patient or to the student, because they don't come to me for wisecracks. They come to me for depth of realization. And when they are appealing for help, I don't say it's illusion until I have come to the realization that it's illusion. I don't stop my work until I've had a release inside that says, now you can joke about it all you like. You see that? When they are appealing for help, I don't say it's illusion until I have come to the realization that it's illusion. I don't stop my work until I've had a release inside that says, now you can joke about it all you like. You see that? I've told the story to some of our students of a case where a lady was convinced that she was dying. And as some of you may know, that in menopause, ladies often get the feeling they're dying and won't live through till the morning. And this was one of those cases where the lady was just convinced that she couldn't live through till morning, and she insisted on calling her teacher. And her teacher responded and said, if she would like to die, please tell her I will never interfere. And that was the healing, too. But you see what was behind it. It wasn't a wisecrack. It wasn't a joke. Behind it was his realization of the fact that God is individual life. So it isn't possible. There's no way to die. Nobody can die. But if we are ignorant of that, then, of course, we can go through the death process, because we have a glass and a tumbler. If we have a glass and a tumbler, anything can happen to the tumbler. It's only when we have glass as tumbler that we know that all that glass is, tumbler is. Do you see that? So it is. Well, of course, I will say this again. Never hesitate to laugh at yourself. Because most of our trouble is taking ourselves too seriously. And when we do take ourselves too seriously, then we sit down and we really try to go to town trying to heal ourselves or improve ourselves or become angels. But we can't become angels because we are angels. We can acknowledge that which we are. We are angels. We're told that we were born a little lower than the angels, but we've come up since then and become angels. We are angels. We live and move and have our being in God. We live and move and have our being in God consciousness. And since God constitutes our being, that really is the truth, and all else is illusion. And because it's illusion, it has no substance, has no cause, has no law, has no being. And that then makes it illusion. If you were to stop, think now, just close your eyes for a moment. And in your mind, build a house. And just to make it more difficult, make it a good solid brick house with a lot of concrete over it. And then open your eyes and see what happens to your house. Because it was an illusion. It's all gone, concrete and all, brick, everything is gone. Had no existence to begin with, and it has no existence now. Why? It was an illusion. It was just a mental image in thought and never had externalized form. Do you see that? Now it is, we build up a selfhood apart from God, and we call it Mary, Bill, James, Joe, whatnot. And then, having built up that image, we try to improve it or reform it or heal it or enrich it. Whereas, if instead of opening our eyes, we close our eyes and look through, we'd say, why, no, none of that is real, because God never made that kind of a picture. The picture that God made was his own self projected into time and space. His own self. There is only one self, and I am that self, and you are that self, and there is but one self. God projecting himself into time and space. That's us. And then when you see that, you come back to your as, and you come back to your is, and now let's meditate. Now, do you remember last night when we searched from the toes to the head and we didn't find ourselves there? And the question is then, where am I? Who am I? What am I? And we find that this I is God and not man. Now do you see why we can say the tumbler is glass? Glass constitutes the tumbler. Therefore, all that the glass is, the tumbler is, for they are one. There is no such thing really as a tumbler. There is just a piece of glass in a certain form that we call a tumbler. And so really and truly, there is no you. There is only God in a certain individualized form that we call you, but it's still God. It's still God mind, God soul, God life, God spirit, God being, God body. Do you see that? Now, when you know that, then you say, ah, now I understand the great mystery of the Master's teaching, and that is this. I, in the midst of thee, am mighty. Now say I. That's the I that in the midst of you is mighty. It's no other. It's none other than that very I. Thou seest me. Thou seest the Father that sent me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Say I. Well, do you think it ever will leave you or forsake you? No. How is it going to get away from you? Do you see that? Now, I will be with you unto the end of the world. And say, I? Don't you believe it will be? Yes. How are you going to drop it any place? Do you see that? Now, that I isn't a finite person. That I is your God being. That is your God self. That is your real self. And as long as you've got that, you can go through the flames without being burned. You can go through the waters without drowning. As long as you have that I. And you know you even have it when you're unconscious. Because it's that I that keeps your heart beating. Your digestion going. Blood flowing. Do you see that? Now, I. Closer. Is there anything else closer to you than breathing? Nearer than hands and feet? Anything other than I? No, say it and see how close it is. Don't you see how close that is to you? Well, there you are. I am closer to you than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. I am, say, I am.
I am.
I am closer to you than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. I am. And that I am is God. It isn't man. It isn't separateness from God. No. That I am that I am. That I in the midst of you is mighty. And that is why if you make your bed in hell, that I is with you. And if you mount up to heaven, that I is with you. And if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you try to get rid of that I. It will go right through with you. Do you see that? And now remember that that I is your Savior. That I is your salvation. Closer to you than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. And all you have to do as you learn to build this realization as you walk through your day's work, whether it's housework or whether it's office work or wherever you are, just realizing that I'm going with you. And I am your Savior. I am your Savior. Look unto me and be ye saved. Is there a God beside me, says Isaiah? I know not any. I know not any. I, in the midst of you, am mighty. Do you see that? Well, that's the mystery of the Master's teaching. You have meat that the world knows not of. What is the meat? I. I is the meat and the wine and the water. And that I will feed you and sustain you. I am the resurrection. Do you remember that? That I is the resurrection. And if you destroy this temple, who will build it up again? I will. You see that? That's the power of the I. When in sacredness and in secrecy, you realize that I. When you hear somebody being flippant about that I or saying, oh, I am God, then you just know they know nothing about it. They're just introducing an egotistical sense, and they're trying to make their humanhood God. They'll never believe anybody like that. But When you hear or read, as you do in the Master's teaching, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Abraham. Jesus wasn't with Abraham, you know. But I was with Abraham. I was with Isaac and Jacob and Isaiah. I was with Jesus and John and Paul. Do you see that? I mounted up onto the crucifix with Jesus. I went into the tomb with Jesus. And I walked Jesus out of the tomb. I did. And so, if you never will lose sight of the I of your being and hold that I as something sacred and something secret, and realize that that I in the midst of you is the only thing in the world that's closer to you than breathing, and nearer than hands and feet. That I in the midst of you is your salvation. That's the only thing that'll go with you into the valley of the shadow of death, or up into heaven, or down into hell. Do you see that? It's the only thing that'll go through waters or go through the flames with you. I will. There's your salvation. There's your life. And as you understand that, that's the new creature. Because you thought I was a man. You thought I was the son of Mary. You thought I was a carpenter. No, I is God. Do you see the difference? When you realize that, and you ponder it, and you hold it sacred, and you hold it secret, please don't walk up and down the streets telling it to strangers. And don't go home and tell it to your husband and wife just because you're married to them. Because that won't make them understand it. That is why we have closed classes. That is why we have selection of students. So that I don't say these things to people who are going to walk out and think that I'm talking about some egotistical jackass calling himself God. Do you see that? I'm talking about I in the midst of you. Something very sacred, something very secret. And if you pray in secret, the God that he... Why, don't you know now what that means in the book of Matthew? You better go home. You better get home right away. I'm apt to forget tomorrow. Go home while the doors are open. Look at this. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Where is heaven? Within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So therefore it says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is within you. Now what is your Father? Aye, certainly. Certainly. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now what is there that would know within you that you're doing alms? Anything but I? No, it isn't your heart, liver, or lungs that know it. It's I in the midst of you that knows just what you're doing every single moment. And so it is with prayer. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, go within, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, when you pray, is there anything within you but I that can hear it? No. It's I that's knowing what I am doing. It's I that knows what Joel is doing. And all Joel has to do is be sure that he's right with the I within himself, and then he's right with God. And no man has to know it outside. No man has to know it. All I have to do is know it in here, and that which is the Father, which is the I of my being, my Christ self, that knows it. And that then raises up seed. And if I need anything in the external world, I know it. And I is the presence that goes before me that brings it about. Do you see that? Now study this word I tonight and tomorrow, won't you? Do it sacredly, though. Do it secretly. Do it as it says here in Matthew, within your own being. Don't let the world know about it. And just the same as you don't have to go around saying, I am honest, if you are, in some way or other, it's so apparent in your face and your bearing and your demeanor that you never have to tell anybody, and your credit's good. And you don't have to tell man whose breath is in his nostril, I am honest. Do you see that? In the same way, you don't have to parade your virtues, nor do you have to parade your prayers, nor do you have to care whether man ever knows that you've done a good deed. All you have to care about is I know it, and let I take care of it within itself. And you will see that once you have a sacred and a secret relationship with the I within you, you'll never again have to be concerned for a man whose breath is in his nostril, or whether he knows or whether he doesn't. And even if you have to be, if you are swimming off the beach of Hawaii, as I have been, somebody in South Africa will invite you to come over, and you wonder how they found out about you. But I know that I is the presence that travels over this globe telling people about the message of the infinite way. Because we don't use any other method. We don't use the method of men. We stick to the method of God. If I within me know that the infinite way is right, then the I of me will tell the I of you. Do you see that? And that's how we're brought together, without human mode or means. Something in you responds to that something in me. And that something is God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.